Isn't it a good word? And what's really neat is Wednesday, when we were praying, Wednesday morning, Pam saw a bullseye and felt that the Lord was saying, I'm hitting the mark. I'm going to hit the mark, which went along, and Cindy, of course, didn't know that, but it went along with that. And two things that I want to share before I read this. I'm going to read out of the Shepherd's Rod before we get started. Before Rick comes up. But two things that on Wednesday morning, we're still, the three of us are getting together. And we're praying. Pam, at one point, saw the crown of thorns get stuck into the Lord's head, and she had been meditating, or just the Lord's been talking to her about a crown, because corona means crown, and she saw this crown of thorns and just began to weep because she saw them sticking it in the Lord's head, which for me, there was such significance to this guarding our thoughts. And that the Lord, he takes this crown of thorns and is pierced so that we can rise above the thoughts of the enemy and what we're living in on this planet, and rise up to where the Lord is and think what he thinks. The other thing that I saw is that Pam was reading out of Isaiah and praying out of giving us wings as eagles. Rick had shared that last week about learning how to get up and soar above where the Lord is. And for some of you that read The Final Quest, Rick Joyner, in this book, The Final Quest, what he saw was as he climbed the mountains, there was those that became eagles, and those eagles would eat the snakes. They would come back, and they would eat the snakes around the Christians' legs that were getting stopped by moving because of fear and shame and guilt. And all at once, I realized, and I'd looked at that and saw it, and it really didn't mean a whole lot to me when I had read it. I thought, oh, yeah, that's great, you know, and just never give it too much more thought until Wednesday morning. And when she mentioned the eagles, that came back to me, and I realized in a greater way that the prophets are the eagles. It was in this book, and the prophets speak what the Lord is saying to counteract the lies and the fear and the guilt and the shame that keeps us as Christians bound. And I went, oh my gosh, we have to listen to the prophets. And of course, in Revelations, it says, the Spirit of God is the witness or the testimony of the Lord is the spirit of prophecy, is what it says. The testimony of the Lord is the spirit of prophecy. So he has spoken, and what he says is going to come to pass, and he has also released the prophets. So let me read to you out of the Shepherd's Rod. This is vital for us in these days, because there is coming a great move of God, and our minds have to be set on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now, this was written in, the revelation was given in September. So, Romans 8, 5, 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So Bobby Connors gets this word. He says, how shall we live? Keep focused on the Lord. The Spirit of God is saying to the body of Christ, look up above the pandemonium of the present day problems. This was before this thing broke out. Only as we keep focused upon the Lord will we obtain and retain perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. What will make the difference in how these crucial times affect your life? Simply this. Your walk with Jesus Christ will make all the difference. Grace will be released to the soul that turns to Christ with a desperate heart. However, judgment awaits the deceptive, rebellious heart. This judgment came quickly to the two pretenders, Ananias and Sapphira. Their sin was lying about their heart's devotion to the Lord. This type of deception will now also be judged. These are days when the battle for our minds will rage. The foe will try to cause us to divert our eyes from the Lord and focus on the events occurring on the earth. Now is the time to give earnest heed to the warnings. What I just read, setting your affections on things above. Let these words sink deep into your soul, for they will be life and peace to those who will hear and obey. Strive to become a doer of the word and not just a hearer. The battle is for our minds. Proverbs 23:7 informs us, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. To obtain this desired peace, we must keep our minds focused and stayed on the Lord. What we set our minds on will determine how we live during these dark days. The scripture reminds us to set our minds on things above. And then out of Colossians 3:2, which Rick is going to share on today. And then Psalm 62:1-2. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken. These are the days, the times that we're in, that the Lord is shaking the earth, the body of Christ, the people, to get us ready. The enemy also is shaking and trying to devour. But those that keep their mind on him will be saved. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes. That goes along with Jordan before this in November also had four doves fly across his car. And he had written about it. He wrote to me about this, gave this testimony that we remain in peace during this time of testing. And it's easy to be shaken out of it for other reasons than even the coronavirus. So we have got a God, and our minds are set upon his kingdom coming and people receiving salvation. And I just want to remind you to keep praying for the gifts of the Spirit, for the move of the Spirit to be manifested in our midst as we go about this time. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift this day up to you. I praise you and I thank you. I am asking that you help us to become doers of the word and not only hearers. Lord, that we will fulfill the task that you've caused us to be born for, and that is to bring the kingdom, that is to win souls and see people living an abundant life in you, for people to know you, Lord. And Father, I am asking, Holy Spirit, move on our nation, move on our state, move on us as individuals. Lord Jesus, I am crying out for such a move that will transform us and make us more like you. I am asking for a release of understanding and wisdom and knowledge and counsel, Lord, and the fear of the Lord and prophecy, Lord, to be loosed over us, over our people, over the church as a whole. I pray for our nation. I pray for our president. I ask, Lord, that you would protect him, keep him safe. I ask for Israel, Lord. I ask that you would begin to just continue to watch over Israel and to bring your people into the understanding and the full knowledge of Messiah. Lord, we praise you and honor you. I pray for Rick this morning that you would anoint his words and that you would anoint our ears in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I am so blessed by all of you being the body and continuing on the way we are. No, it's so important to come to the place where we are truly focusing on being the body, being who the Lord wants us to be, and representing the kingdom like we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we first of all represent him. And in all of the different seasons and times, it is so hard not to get in the flesh and responding and fighting and having different emotions. And whenever we have those emotions, it definitely indicates that we feel out of control. And that's typically why you're angry, is you feel out of control, you feel like something is bigger than your control or bigger than God. And we need to choose to not do that, to not go there. And I've shared and you've known that I've gone through this thing with my fingers, cut my finger, and it's healing. It's going to be a very challenging thing to use it again, especially to press down on guitar strings, and just trusting the Lord that it'll be okay at the right time when I need it to be okay. And you really can sympathize with people that have to go through not just something healing, but you've got to redo something and reapproach something and use something you haven't used before, something that feels different. And it is challenging, and we forget how much people overcome when they go through different injuries and loss of different things. And then last weekend, I burned my other fingers on my other hand, which is healing, but it's definitely has thrown me off. And it really caused me, there are a lot of things that happen I just kind of shrug off. These two things really affected me. They're between my voice over the last several years, losing that, the coughing, the unable to communicate for almost 4 months out of the year, 3 months out of the year, and then losing my hands. Like, these are two really big items of expression for us, our voices and then our hands of expression, whatever you create and do with your hands. And I was talking to Diane Brothers, and someone that wants to just remain anonymous had shared a word with her, shared something with her that really ministered to her. She was relating to me how it impacted her. And I have the liberty just to read this from this person that gave it. And here's what they put down. When all this craziness started back in March, I kept seeing an iPhone and how sometimes we have to shut them completely down when they aren't working correctly. And I saw the Lord shutting all of us down, and he said, when I turn everything back on, it will be better than before I turn you off. You will run faster, more efficient, and clearer. And when you look at this whole thing as something the Lord did that he had his hand in, like he doesn't allow anything to happen to us, whether it's specifically from him or whether it's like not is something different than that, he still uses all of this. And there's such a feeling, at least I know I felt, turned off, shut down, couldn't have church, couldn't do things that I just took for granted before. And all of a sudden, I can't gather people. We can't gather as a church. I can't play music. I can't, like, the things that I just were, you know, was taking for granted, all of a sudden, I couldn't do. A word that, and we know we have to do this with our devices, our iPhones, our computers, our iPads, they occasionally have to be shut down. It's actually good for them. They reset, they go back to their default settings, and when they come back on, they're functioning again. They're running the apps the way they should, and et cetera, et cetera. And I really believe how much more, especially from this word, I'm like, how much more we have to trust that this shutting down of our normal functioning and normal doing things normal, that it's going to have this effect that when it's over, we're going to see clear, we're going to function clear, things are going to work again. It's really huge. Then all of a sudden, you don't see all these external things going on around us as what is controlling us, but you see the Lord using something, and how interesting that he would shut his church off. Think about that for a second. He kind of hit the mute button on us, said, you're going to be quiet for a little bit. And you watch even people that function in the supernatural. We were watching Roland and Heidi Baker, and they were like in-house, in-home, not going out because, you know, this was going on in Africa. And other things, other persecutions were going on right there where they have their ministry. And they were just obeying, yielding is maybe a better way, yielding to this thing to pull back and settle and wait and have this process, this time of waiting. So we can either resist that and fight that and get angry and identify enemies, or we can say, God's bigger than this. What are you working in me, Lord? What's going on? And there are all kinds of benefits, actually, like a day of rest. Do you know we fight that with everything in us? And yet it's so valuable, and we'll make excuses why we can't rest. Not, I'm talking about real rest. The way we rest in America, we exhaust ourselves. We go on vacation and burn ourselves out. I think it's in the top 10 most stressful things that you do, you know, in your life. We do things even in our resting and our recreation, burn us out. They cost us money we don't really have. They stress our relationships. They have a lot of very negative adverse effects. You have to stop sometimes and scratch your head. It's like, are we resting? Are we getting closer and, you know, working on our most intimate relationships and growing, or do we just do something else that causes more tension and strife and stress? So here we are, and there are a lot of good things already that I'm seeing, and Phyllis and I just were challenged again in the latest developments of things in this extension. And we had to make a choice. We had to make it quickly. We're going to fight this, or we're going to yield to what the Lord is doing and get our eyes on him, keep our eyes on him. And I just want to declare, I'm not afraid of this virus. I heard a doctor, like I personally know, make a declaration in the beginning. We should have coronavirus parties. Just get together, everybody get it, get over it, get our immune system built up and move on. Now, I understand there are people that are at risk. I would be one of them. However, I'm not afraid of that. But meanwhile, we are getting stronger, strengthened. I am not afraid. I'm not living in fear. I don't want to affect somebody else, infect someone else, or I don't want to do things that would bring harm to people. I really don't. I worry about the bad weather when we have snow and ice around here. Should we cancel church? Should we not cancel church? And all I can imagine is someone getting all the way to one of these hills that surround the church and getting stuck or having an accident or something bad happening. So I have to deal with that fear all the time. It's crazy when you feel like you're the one that's responsible. It's not entirely a bad thing, but you've got to entrust the people you love. You have to entrust them to the Lord, and we have to entrust our lives to the Lord. And I believe Jesus wants us to get to a place where we don't fear anything. We don't fear viruses and sickness. We don't fear man. We don't fear being socially unaccepted because we believe something or do something. He desires us to be fearless. He desires us to fear one thing, that's Him, and He's the one thing that is safe to fear. That you have a license to fear. Fear God, that would be a good thing. Fear who He is in the sense that we respect and we honor. And man, you stay on the good side of Dad, and you are protected. You are inside of the security line. You're in a safe place. So, as I was just adjusting my heart in the last couple of days, we were going through some things here, the world, life. I was drawn back early in the morning, and I realized, I'm like, wow, Phil, you know, as Phyllis and I were talking and hearing the news and the announcement of extension, and I'm like, we have in our household, we got to get in a good place right now, right away. And I went in and found a sheet of paper. For some reason, I had written out Colossians 3:2, and I had just wrote out things. And it was also in my journal. And I reread this, and I start looking, and I'm like, yeah, this is where I need to get my heart to, my focus, my emphasis. I need to get here. This is what I represent. This is what matters most. And the one thing I do not want to do is I don't want to offend my Father in heaven. I want to please Him. I want Him to look down on me, on my heart, at any given time throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, and say, I'm pleased with you. You're doing good. I love your heart. I love where you are. Let's fellowship. And I want to raise a hallelujah. I'll sing that song to Jace all the time, and he'll stop what he's doing and he'll begin to smile because we sing that song all the time. It breaks something, and meanwhile, get out in the sunshine. It is amazing. It has amazing healing powers. Take vitamin C, get zinc, do some of these things, these practical things. They are really amazing healers. And I'll share this again. When I was going through these years of being affected by something that was viral, had to be because nothing was working on it. When the sun would shine, I would feel so, so different. So we didn't know if I got affected by mold, fungus, whatever. Probably, very probable, but it has this funny reaction to sunlight. It doesn't do well in sunlight. I do good in sunlight. When it's dreary, overcast, I felt so oppressed. It was so amazing, the difference. And I would say that to anyone that was talking to me from the medical field, I'd get no response, none at all. I remember the blank looks. I know that you know those blank looks. You know those looks where they won't confirm or deny what you're saying. And I'm like, I know what I'm feeling. I know it's not just that the sun's shining, but there's something is lifted, something I feel different. And I believe that these viruses, I've always said this from years and years ago, when Phyllis and I learned about the nature of what a virus was, we came to the conclusion real quickly, it's demonic. They are living things. They're always changing. They're odd. They're different than other things that we suffer from. And so a virus by nature then would hate the light. So get in the sunlight. it affects you. The sun just is such a powerful thing. And I looked out again this morning early. We're finally into these warmer spring mornings. I looked out. I saw our maple trees are finally budding. The leaves are coming out. It is such a sign. It's a testimony. Every year, every spring, what's a testimony of? That what looks dead all winter miraculously, incredibly comes back to life. The difference between a live tree and a dead tree are very little when it and through the winter when they're dormant. And then this miracle happens and the sap begins to run again, and boom, they incredibly grow. The leaves come forth and come out and things come to life and the grass turns green again and life comes. And if it's a sign in the physical, how much more will we come to life? And we kind of went into a winter time, and it's extended, but that doesn't mean that life can't burst through. And I would just keep in mind, like, arm yourselves with staying in the Spirit. Listen to some of the wording. I'm using the Passion Translation. Your other translations will read slightly differently, but I compare and look at them. I love the fresh wording. I love the revelation, the passion that Brian Simmons has put into this. And in verse 2, it begins, "Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm." That is an exhortation directly from heaven to us. Fill your minds with this. We know our minds are filled, how our minds can be filled with everything else, with worries, preoccupations, fights, battles. We're always in some kind of conflict. What was the students at the school when Christopher Milo would ask them, they unanimously, at least in our school district, that is like, "What's the biggest problem here in your school?" He asked that question. And you know what they said number one was? The drama. The drama. Wow, interesting. They're part of the drama. We're part of the drama. But they identified this is what's hard. It's agonizing, the continual drama. And what is drama fed on? It's fed on making it your meditation and making it the thing that you fellowship with people. Making it the center of the conversation. You're on the phone, you're talking about the drama. You run into the friend or the relative, and if the focal point is the drama, wow. Are you convicted? I am. I've been watching over this, and I'm not where I want to get to. But what a difference, and you'll meet somebody, just coming and going, you'll encounter someone, and they'll throw out a comment that you either can bite on and jump into that drama because it's all over the place, or you can pull up or give an answer, a response that comes from above. And you know what I'm talking about. Like, think about this. It's so huge. You do not have to live there. The drama is it's so tempting. I don't know why. Maybe it gets things off of us. I don't know why it's so tempting, why it has such a stronghold, because it doesn't make us feel better. You can go on a rant. Do you really feel better when you're done? Or do you just feel like, if you'd be honest, or do you feel empty and defiled? But when we edify one another, when we choose, even if it's raining, like, to say something positive about it, it's not just human, you know, reasoning, but there's something so spectacularly profound, because we have this power with our lips and our mouths to declare something good or to declare something negative or bad or hopeless. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. I want to represent the solution. I want to represent the good word. I want to represent a word of life. I have the power in my mouth to communicate life to you. on any encounter. Sometimes I've got my game on and I'm doing good, and sometimes I don't have my game on and I'm doing bad and I'm part of the problem. And I complain or mumble, or I speak of things without the hope of Jesus. It's okay to say, I don't feel good, but acknowledge, but I'll do better. Like, Jesus will help me. He will save me. My trust is in the Lord. My finances may stink at the moment, but the Lord promised me, as I'm faithful to Him, He promised to take care of me and meet my needs. He feeds the birds of the air. He will take care of me. He loves me. I replicate His nature and His being. Of course He's going to take care of me. He will bless me. He's faithful. He's good. There may be obstacles, there may be difficulties, but in the end. So you can talk about anything in your life, and there can be hope associated with it or hopelessness associated with it. I'm going to play my guitar again. I have to confess that. It's a struggle to confess that. I have some fear about it. But the truth is, I don't believe the Lord took that away from me. It will come, I'll be able to do it. My finger, as it continues to heal, will heal in the way, and I have found ways to keep making music. I still, even with my burned fingers, I sit and play and worship, and I immediately feel life come. Feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Encourage each other. Like the people you walk with, encourage in a good way. There's a way to do it and offend, you know, the people you love. But there's another way to just gently, with compassion, because it's hard when you're feeling negative and you've opened your mouth and you're, you know, spewing this out. But find a way to encourage each other. Bring light. Turn the corner. Bring hope. Bring joy. Honor. We were watching The Chosen, and I loved when they were doing Sabbaths, celebrating Sabbath, and this thing that the men would do, and they would start to honor the women, a woman of valor who can find. And then I watched in that one scene in The Chosen where this father looks at his little girl and starts declaring good things over her. And I'm like, how powerful to watch that and see that, how powerful for a father to declare over his little girl the great things, great promises. And to honor the women in your heart and your household. And I've even done this at my house. Like I'll just speak that out. Woman of valor, like not making fun, like I really mean that, as Phyllis is cooking or preparing something. And she just gets a smile on her face, like it's just peaceful because I'm not making fun. I'm being sincere. It's so powerful to just declare honor and grace and glory over the people around you. We can pray for opportunities to go across the world and preach the gospel, but we won't lift up a banner in our own household. They're like, wow. It's funny what we'll do if there's a big deal about it, if it costs a lot of money, if there's some acclaim to it of fame or purpose or accomplishment, and yet in the private places of our life, we won't. We hesitate or we hold back. Well, I don't even know why. I'm not even going to try to speculate why. I would just say practice it. Practice it at home. Practice spending time and valuing the people that you're living with. You get a great opportunity right now to practice that. Moving down in verse 4, I believe it is, as Christ Himself is seen for who He really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with Him in His glory. This is the way to become who you really are. Who are you really? Do we want to just be a result of our where we were raised or what we had or the bad things that happened to us? Or do you want to find who you really are? And actually, I think we're all on that journey. And it's funny, no matter what your age is, you're still looking for that. You're still searching for that. You're still attaining, and it's a good thing. Who am I really? Who am I really? What do I really believe? What are really my convictions? What are the choices that I would really make if no one was watching? If I didn't feel pressure from anyone else, who would I be for real? And this is found, this scripture just reveals, and Christ himself is seen. For who he really is, who you really are, will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in glory. And in verse 10, I believe it is, for you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. So this passage, this chapter is just packed, just infused with declarations about you. And the words, if the word's true, let the word be true, and let every man be a liar. Like if you hear any other voice, that's the lie. The truth is who Christ says that you are and what we're invited into. So moving into verses 12 through 15, there is this opportunity. We want to feast on the treasures. And then another phrase in the Passion Translation that captured me, you are always and dearly loved by God. That's great. And then this phrase, so robe yourself with the virtue, with virtues of God. Robe yourself. Put that around you. And it's such a picture, like put that on. Don't put on the anger. Don't put on frustration. Don't put on, I'm going to find my enemies and go destroy them or overcome, or I'm going to win, or no one can put this restraint on me. Like, we are not victims. You may have to tell yourself that 10 times a day, but we are not victims in Christ. We are not victims. No man can take away from you the virtues of God, the real things, the things that matter. No man can take that away from you. Robe yourself with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. So God's choosing you. He chose you to be holy. He chose you to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable. Think on these things. Like, let this mold your life. Not other personalities, actors, people, things that you will watch. Let this mold you. Let this be the blueprint. Let this be the standard. See, compare yourself not to someone else. Compare yourself to this. Just because you're doing better than your neighbor doesn't mean you've gotten very far. But when you begin to yield to the standard that's set here, it's a higher thing. We become so amazing the more we look like Jesus. I want to be amazing. I went over to Summer and Adams early this morning to pick up the flash drive so we could record and do the podcast. And Lincoln met me at the door. And Adam had opened the door, and then Lincoln came up. And Lincoln, as most of these little boys, he is into superheroes, and he's holding something. I ask him what that is, and it's his Iron Man, character, very intimidating. And in the other hand, he's holding something from Spider-Man, and on his shirt is the picture of a dragon. And I'm like, wow, you're making me afraid. Like, you are so intimidating. You're so awesome. And he mumbled something like, no, don't be afraid of me. You know, and he's so cute. And but he's clothed with all this strength and this might. And when we put on these things, like robe yourself with the virtues of God, oh my gosh, we are so concerned about what we wear, how we look, what we drive. We just are. We're very aware of those things. And be aware of this. Take a snapshot, like do a selfie. When you look holy, when you look merciful, when you can go through a situation, you showed mercy, take a snapshot of that. That's a great thing, that you would be merciful, that you would be compassionate, that you would be kind, that you be gentle, be humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Let this get so big in us and let us grow in these things and just build up our stature in these things, that even when we get around people that are challenging, that may trigger you normally, that you don't forsake this. You're still this. Even when you're insulted, you don't forsake this. Even when you're challenged, you don't forsake this. Even when you're controlled, you don't forsake this. Even when you're threatened, you don't cower, that you stay strong, that you stay strong in the virtues and who and what the likeness of Jesus is. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Do you love? I have a t-shirt that says, "Did you love?" Like the thing that the Lord asked Bob Jones. It was a shirt from when we went. Did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? Of all the things we get to heaven and the Lord, you know, we're concerned about what we accomplished, what we owned, what we had, all those things that we strive for in our life. And we get to heaven and we're expecting the Lord to ask us what our accomplishments were, what we built, what we had, how many people followed us on Facebook, all the real important things. And he asks, "Hey, just wondering, did you learn to love?" How do you even make an excuse? I want to close today. I keep going from this. I got this passage in Isaiah 40, the beginning of this time, season we've just entered into. And at the end of Isaiah 40, the most amazing scriptures about your strength being renewed. And if I remember the story, the documentary version of what happens to an eagle, I believe they go into a molt. There are different elements that they do not look good right before the new feathers come on and right before the strength gets renewed. There were different elements. I'm not going to even try to go there because I haven't refreshed my mind on it for a while. But I will just say this. My memory is that right before the strength gets renewed, they're not looking good, not feeling good. Like it doesn't look good. And at that, as they ascend to higher and higher altitudes, something takes place and transpires, and their strength is renewed. And in chapter 40, in the Passion Translation, "But those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh," and this is the word that is used to wait on the Lord in the Psalms. The Hebrew word for wait means to tie, twist, bind, entwine, make a rope. Waiting on God is never passive. It is binding our hearts together as we wait for God's plan to unfold. You just have to do this. You just have to find a place that is your sacred place, is your secret place with the Lord. It's not optional. If you want to grow in these things, you've got to find that place that way. Your excuses all fail. Whatever excuse you would want to give, I'll probably agree with it. But it still fails. Like, don't use excuses. Find a way to create a secret place with the Lord. And physically even, it helps if you have a specific place that is yours, that you feel familiar and comfortable with, that you can meet with the Lord. It's just part of our nature. It's not, and it doesn't have to be, and yet I know that for every person that consistently encounters the Lord and finds a place, there's a way in, there's a place. Establish that. Establish an altar in your home if you can. The people groups and cultures that worship what we believe to be false gods, they have these. They look at us as Christians and like, where's your altar? And we're like, oh, you don't need an altar. Listen, we do. We do need sacred places. We need places that we designate as, this is where I meet with the Lord. This is where I can get away and I can get in the Spirit. Go in your room. How do you pray? You know, pray in secret. And this is what we're struggling with. We're in secret. Like, it's hard to communicate. I've struggled with this, like losing the ability to have a group, have my flock, and have this people sitting in front of me that pull stuff out. And now I'm sitting in this room with empty chairs. Thank you, Phyllis, for being with me. That's what makes it me not talking to myself. And to lose all that, it was difficult to overcome. Like, it was like, oh, wow. And it's this thing, if we function like, can the Lord still move if we're in secret? That's a good question. If I can't have some voice of influence, will the Lord still do things? Can he use us praying in secret to change the stuff that's out there? Actually, it's the only way things really change. When we give ourselves to prayer and we commit this to the Lord, and then we put on the virtues of God, that allows him to be totally free to be at work among us. And he promises to renew our strength. We will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and it says, and walk through life without giving up. Yeah, that's a good thing, to be able to walk through life without giving up. Let me pray for one another, and then if there's anything else, we can just open this up. Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray over our body that through this season that we will please you. Day and night, I want to be aware of you watching my heart and watching over me. I want you to find pleasure in me. I want you to find pleasure in how I'm interacting. I want you to find pleasure with my speech. I want you to find pleasure with what I set my eyes on. I want you to find pleasure with my activities, as limited as they may be. I want to live my life specifically in your presence. And I know that every promise that is here will come to pass and potentially can come to pass if I will just watch over that and stay in that place and purposefully clothe myself with the virtues that come from you, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.